Whether we're ready or not, it's that time of year again. The time of year when we tell ourselves to slow down and be thankful for what really is important. But with all the demands this season brings, we're often left with little time to ponder what really makes Christmas so important. You see, it's not about the shopping malls or gifts under the tree. It's not about the parties or hot chocolate or music. Christmas is about so much more. Christmas is about the promise that God has come into our world. He has offered all of us the most precious gift that can be given. This means something for you right now. Join us at the Rock Church this Christmas season as we reflect on the glory and wonder of this, Emmanuel, God with us.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Why don't you stand up? We're going to sing some songs. We're going to hear some great stories out of the Bible. We're glad you're here. You know this one.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and heaven and nature sing. Sing.
This year, we're finally going to get Christmas right. If it's not Jesus, it's got to go.
Hey!
But would that really get us to focus on the reason for the season? We might find it easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The point of Jesus' birth was to bring God into humanity. What if we were able to see Jesus in all the traditions? The first Christmas was about God with us. Let's make this Christmas about us with God. May we see the joy of Christ in our kids' laughter.
Just do a high five.
The love of Christ with our family. the heart of Christ in the gifts we give, the provision of Christ in the meals we share, the light of Christ as we decorate our homes, the wonder of Christ in the songs we sing, the hope of Christ in the quiet moments we share. Because when we see Jesus, we are getting Christmas right.
We want to see Jesus, don't we, in Christmas? And we're thankful that you guys are here with us today on Christmas Eve Eve. We didn't do exactly Christmas Eve, but it's a day early, and that's okay. You know, Christmas not only affords us the opportunity to remember Jesus and make sure Jesus is paramount, but it also gives us a chance to look back on the past year. Think of 2018. Think of the hours, the days, the minutes that God has given you in 2018. And what do you think of when you look back? For some of you, it was a year of answered prayer. Good things happened. Maybe a bump in pay at your job, or maybe a new job promotion. Maybe you had a newborn babe, or a relationship was restored. And it was a good year for you. But you know what? I'm also mindful of the fact that for some of you, it wasn't a good year. It was a horrible year. It was a year of disappointments, of hopelessness, of failure, of loss. It's a year you thought, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. And you're asking the question, how could you do this to me, God? Where are you in all this? Why would you let this happen to me? And you know, that's a question that a lot of people ask. In fact, it was asked way back in the time of the Christmas story when Jesus was born. Over 2,000 years ago, God's people asked that very same question because they were living under oppression in the Roman Empire, and they had that very same question. They were overworked. They were overtaxed, which I'm sure you can relate to. And in order to survive, at that time, many people had to sell their land and even offer themselves into servitude. They lost their source of income, and for some, they lost everything. This is what was happening in Palestine at the time Jesus was born. So we can relate to that. And at that time, no one dared resist the Roman Empire because such insurrection would certainly bring on the Roman cross. Their circumstances to them, I'm sure, felt hopeless, like some of you have felt this year. But you know what? The Christmas story has an answer to your hopelessness, doesn't it? The Christmas story tells us that when we're hopeless, that's exactly when God shows up, as we learn from the story in Luke chapter 1 and 2.
Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Is there anything in your life that makes you feel hopeless? Maybe it's an addiction that you've kept hidden for years and no one knows about. Maybe it's a marriage or relationship that seems unfixable. Maybe it's a son or daughter that's running from you and running from God, and you don't know if they'll ever come back. You've done everything you know how to do, yet you're hopeless. Can I encourage you that what you still have left is God? You still have left is prayer. Because you know, and I want to encourage you, that only God can bring true hope. That only God can bring true healing. And maybe it seems a little inappropriate to talk about hopelessness at a Christmas Eve service. I understand that. But can I encourage you that, in fact, I think it fits perfectly with the sentiment of that very first Christmas Eve, when the people of God were crying out desperately for help and for God to intervene in their circumstances, which were so hopeless. I'm sure on that day, and we see from the scriptures, that one prayer graced the lips of every Israelite at that time. And that prayer was simply this: oh God, come. Show up, God. Come and bring justice. Come and bring mercy. Come and bring peace into our lives. We need that. And we see how God answered that prayer, don't we? We celebrate it at Christmas time. Let me read to you Matthew 1, verse 22 and 23. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him, what? Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Star and angels gave the sign.
Luke chapter 2 recounts the familiar story of the birth of Jesus. In verse 4 and 5, we read, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child." You know, it's interesting when biblical writers use that terminology like they just did, that Joseph also went up to a city. Almost always in the Bible, it's referring to Jerusalem, the royal city. And I've been to Jerusalem a few times, and it is a very special city, a royal city. A lot of kings have been born and ruled in that city over the millennia. But that's not where Jesus was born, was it? Listen, as Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary were actually called to go to a tiny, dusty little village outside of Jerusalem called Bethlehem.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
You know, no one would have guessed that when the God of the universe revealed himself, he would do it not as a mighty king born in the royal city of Jerusalem with power, but as a prince of peace, born in poverty in a tiny little town in Palestine called Bethlehem. No one could have predicted it. And when the birth announcement came, it came not to aristocrats or leaders or people in the royal city. No, it came to an unsuspecting group of shepherds who were tending their sheep nearby.
Oh,
seat.
You know, the announcement to the shepherds about the Savior's birth almost seems a little misplaced, doesn't it? It seems more appropriate for princes and priests or governors or guardsmen or kings or queens, but not to shepherds. Do you realize that at the time of Jesus' birth, shepherds occupied the lowest rank in the socioeconomic class? These guys were commoners. They were peasants. People didn't like them. The stench of their work literally followed them everywhere they went. Yet, get this, God puts them first on the list of those to whom would be told the good news. The angel tells the shepherds that they should look for a sign. Why? So they'll know for sure that they found the coming king, the promised Messiah. In fact, in Luke 2:12, it says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And what did the shepherds find? Listen to the story and you'll see.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Instead of telling the shepherds to look in a palace or a parliament or a ballroom or banquet or a temple or a throne, the angel tells them to look for the Savior in a feeding trough. He says, look for a boy so poor that his crib will be a hand-me-down from farm animals. Why is that? What message does the manger give us? If Jesus came to show us most clearly who God is and arrives in poverty and anonymity, then what is God saying about himself? No one in the first century could have predicted the way Jesus came or why he came. But his way is superior, better than any plan any one of us could have conceived. He came, listen, not to conquer evildoers, but to conquer evil itself. He became the precious Lamb of God who gave his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world so that you and I could be reconciled to God and understand those powerful words, "The Lord is with you." Now, when we see this, honestly, we can't help but respond with joy and gratitude and singing. We can't help but tell others about who Jesus is and what he did. So I want to invite you for the rest of our time to join us in worship and adoration of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, who is God with us.
Why don't you guys stand up? Sing this with me.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joy. Come and behold him born.
You guys can have a seat.
I love that song. Like I said last night, especially when I hear it sung by Kim, which I realize I've heard you sing that song for 19 years, and it does not get old. God bless you guys. Let's give the band a round of applause for Amen. You know, as we draw this special Christmas Eve service to a close, I just want to share a couple things with you. Number one, I just want you to understand that I believe with all my heart that you are not here by mistake. You're not. And not only that, I want you to understand that you shouldn't leave here without receiving the best Christmas gift ever, which is eternal life, which is offered to you by the God of the universe because of what Jesus did. And I want to share with you how you can do that just briefly. In fact, I tell people, if someone comes to you and says, I know God's plan of salvation for you, and you ask them to share it with you, and it goes on and is convoluted and is hard to understand, if they can't share God's plan of salvation with you in 2 minutes or less, I don't think they have the right gospel. Let me share it with you. It's very, very simple. God didn't want to make it complicated. Here it is. You and I have a problem. We've sinned against a holy God, a God we sang about today. And because we've sinned, we've lied, we've stolen, we've lusted, we've done things we shouldn't do. God says you shouldn't do those things. We've earned something, and what we've earned is a penalty. Someone has to pay for our sin. The consequences of your sin fall on you, my consequences fall on me. And the punishment for sin, the Bible says, is eternal death, separated from God forever. We owe because we've sinned against God. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, God didn't want you to have to spend eternity away from him in a place called hell. So he did something phenomenal. He sent his Son, who's been God forever, to this planet as a baby. And that baby grew up to be a sinless man. And he died for you. He substituted so you wouldn't have to pay the penalty. And now he offers every one of us eternal life as a free gift, to have your sins forgiven because he's paid for his sins, but you have to receive it. That is the good news. Today you can receive it. And I'm going to give you a chance to do just that. Would you all stand as we conclude in prayer? And one last song. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to remember you. And we thank you for coming to this planet as a baby. Thank you for living this life and giving your life for us, weak and as sinful as we are, that we might know the way to have our sins forgiven and to receive the free gift of eternal life, that we might find peace in a world that seems void of peace. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. Make me new. I know I've sinned against you. I know I don't deserve eternal life. I know I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven, but you love me so much that you substituted yourself for me to take my penalty, my punishment upon yourself and die on that cross for me and my sins. Thank you. I repent. I turn away from my sins right now. And the best way I know how, I say, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I say yes to you right now. Thank you, God. Now, with our heads bowed, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask everybody to do something. So just bear with me for a second. With your heads bowed, if you're here today and you're glad that you came today, would you just raise your hand up? I want to see if you're glad you came today. You glad you're here? Amen. We're glad you're here too. You can put your hands down. God bless you for coming. Let's keep our heads bowed. If you came here today and you walked in these doors as a believer, you've already received the gift of eternal life. You know your sins are forgiven. And you're 100% sure you're going to heaven when you walk through the doors today. Would you raise your hands up? I want to see that too. Everybody keep your heads bowed. Raise them up. Amen. So good. Put your hands down. God bless you guys. Last question. If you're here today and you weren't sure if you're going to heaven, and some of these things were new to you, and you realize now I need to ask God to forgive me, and you prayed that prayer with me for the very first time. That was your prayer. You said yes to Jesus this morning. I simply want you to raise your hand up real high where I can see it. Don't be ashamed. Raise it up high. I know it's dark. Keep it up high. If that was your prayer for the first time, yes, raise it up. Keep it up. Amen. Amen. God bless. So many hands. Listen, keep your heads bowed, everyone, except if you had your hand raised, look at me. We want to help you. That's, by the way, that's the best gift that you'll ever receive, isn't it? The forgiveness of your sins, and it's yours because God wants to give it to you, but you had to repent and you did that. God bless you. We want to help you today, for those of you that raised your hand and said yes to Jesus for the first time. So what I want you to do before you leave, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. It's just a prayer card. Check the box that says, I pray to receive Christ, and then write neatly your name and an email because I want to send you one email. And then drop it in the bucket on the way out. With the lights, they'll get it to me, and I'll send you an email. We just want to say congratulations and God bless you. This should be the merriest Christmas you've ever had. This is the best decision you ever made. So let's raise our heads up. Let's give a round of applause for all those people that said yes to Jesus for the very first time. And as we conclude, we can't conclude a Christmas Eve service, can we, without singing? I think we forgot one song. What is that song we need to sing on a Christmas Eve service? Silent Night, that's right. So take your candle, but don't turn it on yet. I know you're tempted. Don't turn it on. Listen, last thing we're going to do as before we sing Silent Night, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a demonstration, and I don't want you to miss this because I'm going to start over here. I'm going to ask Brent, if you have a candle, I'm going to ask him to light his candle in just a second. And he's going to turn around and quickly touch all the candles that aren't lit around him. And you're going to turn yours on as soon as somebody touches your candle. And what we're going to see is a progression all the way across the auditorium. And I don't want you to miss this visual, because I want you to go out into this world. And I think God wants you to go out in this world and spread the love of Christ. Let the light of Christ shine through you as you go out today. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're going to do. So God bless you. I'm going to start the candles. Don't forget to turn these in. We need these for two more services. We don't have enough. Turn those in as you go. Okay, you guys ready to do this? Watch this and then hold it up high during the song. This is a great illustration for you. Ready, Brent? And turn mine on. You go for it. Pass it around. Turn around quickly. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas.
Silent night.
Merry Christmas, guys. God bless you. Thanks for coming.